Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'd like to stay with the traditions of this church and thank Pastor for allowing me, for allowing me to be up here. Thank Pastor Portman for the invitation. This opportunity to be in front of the faithful, speak to the faithful. So, I'd like to start with John, the book of John, chapter 14. Verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whosoever ye, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Pastor Portman, would you pray? Amen. Praise God. Well, I'd like to... I'm one of those guys, I don't think that the book of Acts is finished. How about you? As long as there's a church that's alive and worshipers who are obedient, the book of Acts goes on. And we all know those stories. Most of us know those stories pretty good, you know, throughout the Bible. But there are some stories that I know in detail. And those are my own. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. Thank you. Amen. Well, my walk with God started about almost 30 years ago. And like Paul, he had his conversion on the road to Damascus. I had my conversion on the road to Little Old Racine. I took a trip to Michigan. There were two van loads of ladies who were traveling to Michigan and back with my brother-in-law who was sick. He had cancer. And I thought, you know, I can't let them go by themselves in case there's a flat or anything, any kind of emergency, any problems. So I went along. We got there and we got back. We got back as far as Illinois. And every once in a while, we'd pull over when my brother-in-law wasn't feeling well, and we'd pray for him, and he'd feel better, then we'd go on. Well, when we got to Illinois, we were over the eye, so he wasn't feeling well. He asked for prayer. So we stopped at the O'Hare Oasis. Maybe some of you have been there. And, you know, everyone got out. Someone got coffee or whatever they were going to have that evening. And we're in this wide open parking lot with so many cars and people just coming and going. So now it was time to pray. So, you know, I was with all these people that I was with. Most of them were Pentecostal. I wasn't. So they started praying for my brother-in-law, and he got excited. Then everyone else started getting excited. They started acting Pentecostal. And to be honest, I was embarrassed. We're out in this parking lot full of people, you know. But I love my brother-in-law. So I said, I'm going to pray the only way I know how. Folded my hands together, bowed my head, closed my eyes. But they were going on and on and on. Part of the reason I kept my eyes closed, because I didn't want to see the people staring at us. But I started to feel something good, something exciting, something I never felt before. And one lady was filled with the Holy Ghost. So now I got this feeling, you know, this exciting, good feeling, and all of a sudden I opened my eyes and my head wasn't bowed anymore. My hands weren't folded. I opened my eyes and what I seen was the sky, all the stars. And then I noticed my hands were up. And my first thought was, what am I doing? Really, it happened without me even realizing. And as soon as I said that, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're not going to drink anymore. I don't have like a sob story that God found me in the gutter and picked me up, cleaned me up. But I was in a spiritual gutter. And He did pick me up and He cleaned me up. So that's how my walk started. So now, I read the Bible before, you know, a bunch of times here and there, but I didn't understand it all. It was really just a book to me. And I'd read every once in a while. But now, the book was alive. And I not just had the book, I had the Spirit of God. So now He was guiding me and leading me. And that book was alive. Everything was fresh and new to me. And I was just so excited. So I started to seek God. You know, and people found out that I had a change in my life. And so everyone was trying to help me out, you know. But to me, I was like, keep your tracks, keep your books and your videos. I got the Word of God and I got the Spirit of God. That's all I need for now. But after a while, I realized I needed more. I couldn't just be on my own anymore, even though that was exciting. And God was showing me and teaching me and answering all my questions. Sometimes if I just kept reading, my answer was in the next chapter. You know. But I remember once I had an important question, and on my way home from work, I was so excited because I knew God was waiting for me and He was going to answer my question. In my mind, I could see Him in my room waiting for me. And I was getting so excited. You know, the closer I got to the house, the more excited I was, the more anxious I was. And as I got to the door, you know, I don't even think I said hi to anybody. I got to get upstairs. When I got to the stairs, I could Just thinking about it, I get excited again. But I could hardly wait. So when I got to the stairs, I started running up the stairs. And the Lord, he felt the same way. He couldn't wait. He couldn't wait to give me the answer. And as I was running up the stairs, all these verses were just coming to mind. A lot of verses were just coming to mind. And by the time I got to the top of the stairs, I had my answer. That's, we heard it already today. God gets excited for us. Amen. You know, and he's not just up there, you know, just waiting for the praise and the worship. You know, he's rooting for us. He's saying, come on, come on. Okay, so now my search was for a church. I knew I couldn't go on by myself. I don't know how many churches I had visited, and there were two that I attended for a little while. One was in Illinois, and I knew I just couldn't keep going there. So on my search, I started to get discouraged. And I did what I should have done at the beginning. I got down on my hands and knees, and I asked God. I said, Lord, I don't know where to go anymore. I don't know where to go. I need you to guide me. I need you to lead me. I need you to find a church for me. And I was feeling discouraged. I was feeling down. And I got a call from someone that I hadn't talked to since my high school days. And our parents, our mothers knew each other. So my mother shared with his mother that I had a conversion. So he called, and he was coming to AFC when it was in Sturtevant. A long time ago, huh? And he called me, and he tells me, hey, we got revival going on. How about coming out? And I was still feeling kind of down, and I made an excuse. I said, I don't know. I don't have time to get ready. But it was revival. It was Brother Mackey. He was going to be there for 3 days. So my buddy tells me, how about tomorrow? And I'm already thinking of another excuse. And then I remembered my prayer. Dummy. So I told him, okay, I'll go tomorrow. And I was went out there with him. Brother Mackey spoke on the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So after service, I was filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I could feel God's Spirit, and I thought I had God's Spirit. And my family was divided. Half were apostolic, and the other half was accept the Lord. So I was hearing all kinds of things. And that night, Brother Mackey convinced me, I need to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. So I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I was so excited. I was jumping and leaping. And again, it was new to me, and it was so exciting. So now I found a church. And it was neat after that when I started going. Pastor was preaching everything I was reading from the scriptures. You know, it was nothing else, just what was in the scriptures. And that had me excited. And my wife started coming, then the rest of my family. So I found a church. And someone didn't like that. It was the enemy. He didn't like that. So, when I started going to AFC in that little building, and everyone was, they were practically falling over each other, trying to get to me, just to shake my hand, just to hug me. But then the enemy started lying to me, just telling me, they don't really like you. It's just an act. They're pretending. You know, they're supposed to act that way. And he's telling me, you know, you're different. Your ethnicity, your culture, you think they really like you? And I started believing it. You know, I remember going to church, you know, and after service, you know, my family was going now and they were all excited. But, you know, I was upset. I didn't like being around all these people who didn't like me. And I remember I was sitting like this, you know, in the pew, you know. And one of the brothers at the end of the pew, I seen that he was going to come over to me. But I kind of gave him a look like, what do you want? Brother Dixon, I have to apologize for that. It's 30 years later, but I'm sorry. And he didn't come by me, and I didn't blame him. You know. So I had stopped going to church. I stopped, and I says, I don't want to go there. And I was thinking, maybe I'll go to the church where I was baptized. You know, there's a lot of people of color there. Most of the people were people of color. And as I was thinking of that place, I remembered one service with this one lady. You know, I wanted to go back there because there were more people of color. But the one person I remember is white. But, you know, we're taught not to stare. But this lady she was praising God. She was so happy. She had a big grin on her face, and she was just, you know, looking up, and God was just shining his light on her, and she was spinning and spinning. I didn't even realize till just recently that when I get excited, that's what I do. Maybe that's where I got it from. But she was spinning, and I'd peek over there. I had to keep looking, you know. She just looked so free and happy. Then the Lord let me see something. Instead of seeing her spinning now in my mind, I seen a devil spinning. And he was happy. He was real happy because he got Reuben to stop going to church. Oh, that got me mad. That got me real mad. I was like, I had to find somebody to punch, you know. But even if the devil was there, I couldn't see him. I didn't know where he was. But I decided, I'm going to get him back. I'm going back to church. And that was a few days before the next service. But I kept reminding God, Lord, I'm going back. I'm going back. In my mind, I was back because I had decided, you know, that I was going back. And I was waiting for this feeling of victory over this devil. But I didn't get it. The next morning, every morning when I woke up, I'd remind God, I'm going back, Lord. Remember, I'm going back. And then Sunday came. Got up in the morning, you know, thinking it's Sunday now, you know. I'm going to church, Lord. Where's that victory, Lord? Where's that victory? And, you know, I got ready, got in the mirror, got dressed up, and I keep reminding God, you know, I'm going back. Look, I'm ready. And so we get in the car, and we're on our way, and, you know, again, I'm reminding God, look, Lord, I'm on my way to church. We get there. There's the building, Lord. Aren't I back yet? And we walk in. And nothing. And then I thought, okay, when I get into the sanctuary, that's when I'm going to feel that victory. That's when I know I'm back in church. So walked in. Opened the door, walked in, stepped in, and you know what happened? Nothing. Nothing happened, so I thought, oh well, I'm just going to go have a seat and wait on God. Then somebody opened service. Then we started singing. We started clapping our hands. We started praising God. We started worshiping God. And that's when I knew I was back in church. Because that's what the church does. The church praises and worships God. So, you know, I know there's not enough room. Well, today there's enough room for everybody up here. But, you know, if I can encourage anyone, you know, please don't think that you can just sit there and be part of the church. Don't think that you can just stand there and that you're part of the church. The church worships and praises God. That's what the church is. So thank you, Jesus. So that brother-in-law who was sick, had cancer, he passed away. And afterwards, I found out that he had been going to my room. He was anointing my pillow. He was anointing my jacket, my doorway, my shoes. And, you know, his prayers, my mother's, and everyone who was praying for me, they made me think of Cornelius. Let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 4. Now an angel had come to Cornelius. And verse 4 says, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. You know, and that's what I imagine happened with my brother-in-law. You know, he kept praying for me, kept anointing my room and everything in it. You know, I don't know how long he was doing that. I heard he'd been doing it a while. And my mother's prayers, other saints. You know, that's what they were building, a memorial. A memorial. You know, a memorial. Until something happened. And God came in my life in a strong way. So just like when the angel came to Cornelius and you know, when God came in his life, he discovered truth. And I had found truth. I'm going to go back to that day when I went, the first day I got back to church. You know, like I said, I was, I knew I was back when I started worshiping God. And now that devil that I had seen spinning, dancing because I wasn't going to church, now I seen that devil. Like I said, I got so mad, I got fighting mad. I wanted to punch someone. Well, God gave me the victory that day. And instead of seeing that devil dance, excuse me for being a little silly, but instead of that devil dancing, now I seen him doing this. He was holding his nose, and he's going, oh, like a little kid who got punched in the nose. And that was my victory. And I actually felt like I really let somebody have it. And now, when we're praising, when we're worshiping, we're battling. I know you guys know that. But, you know, when we put up our hands, you know, this is what we're doing to the enemy. Come on. When we leap, you know what we're doing? We're jumping up and giving him a kick. So, you know, don't stop worshiping, church. Don't stop praising God. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, when we think of, do you think of yourself as soldiers? Now, you know, the armor of God from the book of Ephesians. You know, how many of you have imagined yourself, you know, gaining this armor, you know, earning this armor, the helmet of salvation, you know, the breastplate of righteousness? How many of you have imagined yourselves in the armor? All right, we got some. All right, praise God. Now, so have I. And, you know, we see ourselves in this nice, bright, shining armor, you know, and, you know, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod with the gospel. You know, what do we do once we have all that armor on? Do we go to a full-length mirror and admire it? You know, look at ourselves. Wow, look pretty good, huh? No, where does a soldier go? He goes to the battlefield, right? And his armor gets dented, scratched, dirty. Probably gets some bruises under that armor, maybe even a little blood on it. So who here is a soldier of the Lord? All right. Well, what a silly question to ask on a Wednesday, huh? Because I know everyone here is so faithful. Praise God. Well, you're going to have to forgive me for comparing myself with King David. But you know what I did once? I ran through a troop. It was a small troop, but I ran through a troop. And I looked up the word troop from, let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 22. Verse 30. David said, "For by thee have I run through a troop. By my God have I leaped over a wall." Praise God. I don't know how big that troop was, but we used to have men's basketball. Well, I used to participate a long time ago when I could run and jump. And after basketball, when I got home, there was a party going on across the street from my house. And, you know, there were guys out in the front acting up. And I had to park across the street, so I parked down the road a little bit. And I got out, and I was on my way home, and I realized, oh, I left my Bible in the car, so I went back to get it. And I'm ignoring these guys. I don't want to give them attention because they were acting worldly. And I think they noticed that, and they didn't like it because they wanted the attention. So I went back, got my Bible, and on the way back to the house, they come out in the street and meet me. And they're telling me, "Hey, what you got there? I said, it's just my Bible. And then they won't let me see it. And I says, no thanks. And one of them told me, if you don't give it to me, I'm going to take it. And I told him, well, I'm not going to give it to you. So they got closer. The smallest one was about my height, but he had some muscle. And he seemed to be the leader. So I knew what he was up to. He was trying to get close so he could take a swing at me. But I did some boxing, kickboxing. I wrestled in school. And to be honest, I used to be a fighter. And so he took a swing at me. And I ducked it. Excuse me, I'm going to go into detail about all this, but you'll know why afterwards. But he took a swing at me. I dodged it. Pow! And there were four of them. The second guy comes at me, dodge his punch. Pow! And the third and the fourth guy. And then I started over again. And they couldn't take me. They couldn't take me. And I got overconfident. I told God, Lord, I got this. You can imagine what I'm going to tell you now. But so one of the guys went down, and I thought I was in a movie now. And I grabbed him from the collar, you know, and I'm going to give him some words and maybe slap him and punch him again. But he grabbed my wrist, and the other guys were coming. And I panicked. You know, there is a move that I know to get away from that. But I panicked. I seen them coming, and I'm just going like this. They surrounded me, took me down, and started having their way. And one of them, he knew what he was doing, started hitting me in the back of the head, and I started to feel dizzy. And I thought, oh, no. If I pass out, they're really going to have their way with me. So I covered the back of my head, and I thought, as soon as there's a lull in the beating, that's what I'll call it, I'll push myself up, you know, so I can escape this. And so I pushed myself up as hard as I could to get through their punches and kicks, but they had, like I said, there was a little lull, and I went flying backwards. And then they came at me again. The guy right in front of me thought, you know, he better get me, because if I get up and start fighting back, I might, you know, might just start letting them have it again. And so he came at me, and I did this thing I did since I was a kid. I let myself fall and roll on my back. And as he got close, I put my feet on his chest and I grabbed his legs to slam him. And as he started to lose his balance, he was going like that. And I'm on my back and the other three guys are around me. All they had to do was start punching and kicking again. But that's when God came back in. And he said, Reuben, you don't have this. I got this. So when he was doing that, it put a fear in these guys, the other three guys, and they jumped back like, oh no. And I got up and I was able to start fighting again. And then two more guys came in. So that was six guys. And I'm doing my best. And but I thought, you know, I can't handle this forever. You know, eventually they're going to get me again. So I jumped up on my porch and I thought, well, this way they can't surround me. And they're just going to be in front of me. So, you know, and I'm thinking, well, I better do more. I couldn't turn around and try to unlock the door and everything. They're just going to attack me. So what I did was I needed some help, but I didn't want to call for help that's going to make them brave. So I started saying, come on, come on, come on. You know, they got close, I'd do that, and they'd jump back. But I was saying that, come on, and I was yelling loud too, come on, come on. But that's not what I meant. What I really meant was, help, help. So my family did hear. They were already in bed, but they heard me, and they came out. And my son, fortunately, he didn't come out. Oh, they were attacking my dad, and come out and trying to fight. He did the smart thing. He came out with the phone, and he's saying, yes, officers, they're around my dad right now. They're surrounding him. Excuse me. And they got scared. You know, oh, the cops are coming. I never asked him, but when you're on the phone, you dial 911, you don't get an officer. So I think he may have been lying, you know. But they scattered. They ran so fast, and the people in the house partying ran too. To me, it looked like they were jumping out of the windows and everything. But they all took off. I did end up with some stitches, but that was it. And I remember when I shared that years ago after it happened, one of the sisters told me, she goes, you know what? Instead of celebrating your victory, we could have been at your funeral, you know. But it was God. It was God. You know, I had learned to defend myself, but, you know, to fight that many guys and come out ahead, it had to be God. I want to tell you another story about this happened at work. There was a co-worker who was, let me back up a little bit. My back was bothering me. It was really bothering me, and I was kind of walking tenderly. And I seen this co-worker. He had slippers on, and he was sliding his feet. He wasn't even lifting them. And he was moving really slow. And I was thinking, man, what am I crying about? This guy is in a lot of pain. So I went over there, and I asked him what was going on. Of course, I had the intention of praying for him. And I didn't think about this. It just came out. I asked him if I could pray for him. He said, sure. And I told him, you know, I don't want to just say this quick prayer. I asked him, can I pray for you 7 times? And I was able to share with him the story of Naaman. Could we go there? 2 Kings 5. Well, I had asked him if I could pray for him 7 times, and he said, sure. So I prayed with him. And each time I prayed with him, I'd add something. Can I put my hand on you? Can I praise God while I pray for you? And I told him, use the name of Jesus as I'm praying for you. And on the last day, I asked him, is it okay if I pray in tongues? And he said, sure, sure. So I did. And I prayed in tongues. I got loud. And I'm sure other co-workers seeing what was going on. And when I was done, you know, a lot of times we're not sure how people are going to react to us, you know, and we're acting Pentecostal. But as soon as I was done, I kind of backed up to see his reaction. And he didn't even open his eyes, and he says, I love it, I love it, I love it. And what a reaction to have after you pray for someone. I just felt the Holy Ghost just swell up in my chest, and I was like, I couldn't imagine, you know, someone reacting in a more positive way. And here we'll read 2 Samuel 22 and 30. No, I'm sorry. 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is Naaman. Then went he down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. Just like Naaman realized, you know, there's no other God. There's only one God powerful like this. My coworker realized the same thing. You know, he realized there is something to this laying on of hands. There is something to speaking in tongues. God does heal miraculously. His pain went away, and I knew him for 2 years after that, and he said the pain never came back. Amen. Right, and in closing, I just want to share a little bit about the prison. When we go in there, we don't just take the Word of God. We take the Spirit of God in there, too. And which made me think of when we first started, the first time we went back in, there were just a few guys in there. And then for a short time, there was just one guy coming. And and we were going to go ahead and do whatever we could, you know, do God's work. But inside, and I didn't express this to anyone, but inside I felt bad. I felt bad. I was like, oh, what happened? Didn't I pray enough? Didn't I fast enough? You know, what did I do wrong? And Brother Pete Carranza was teaching that day. And me and Brother Galicia were on each side of him. And so we surrounded him. And I don't think he had a chance then. But as Brother Carranza was, he brought up repentance. And the man started weeping. And he broke down. But then he opened up, and he shared a lot with us, his concerns for his family, and we prayed with him, of course. And, you know, though I was feeling bad that he was the only one coming, I realized that if other inmates had come, maybe he wouldn't have broken down like that. Maybe he wouldn't have opened up. And some weeks later, we had more guys coming, and it's going good right now. We have like 7 or 8 guys who've come faithfully, praise God. And but another guy had started, he was coming before COVID, but I wasn't involved at that time, so he was new to me. And he asked if he could sing a couple of songs. He played the guitar, and he did a really good job. And then afterwards, he thanked everyone, and he said, this feels like a real church service. So we're happy, you know, to be in there, to be part of that. Then I noticed when he went back to his seat, he started weeping. I told Pastor about these, and as I was telling him, I couldn't help it. I got emotional. I started weeping. But it was just so beautiful to see these men. You know, these men just open up like that, come into God. You know, it was just beautiful. So, you know, if I could encourage anyone to, you know, step out in faith, go a little further, do a little more, you know, in your praise, in your walk with God, and in what you do for others, your prayers, and, you know, like our opening text said, Jesus said, you'll do greater things, and we will, if we're willing, if we're going to step out, if we're going to, you know, just do more. Amen. Just do more. Amen. Pastor Portman?
Brother Rodriguez, I'd like to sign up for your training program. Some of those moves you described, I do not know, but would like to. Can you imagine this sweet, humble man has deadly weapons? God is so good. I thank you, Brother Rodriguez, for sharing your testimony. You know, you don't have to know anything about being able to teach or the Word of God or know where to find the verse that says this or that, but you know your testimony. You know your experiences. You know, sometimes we want to give people our an understanding, and they need an understanding of what the Word of God says, but no one has to study their experiences with God. And there's a powerful, there's something very powerful about our testimonies, our experiences, and oftentimes those are the things that are going to attract those that are around us. Don't tell me about what the Word of God says. Tell me about what you experienced with God, and that'll open up doors. If you'd stand with me tonight. What we heard tonight was the rebar inside of the concrete pillars that provide stability. We all contribute. We all bring our walks with God and collectively produce something that God is wanting to do in this life and in the life to come. And as you were speaking tonight, Brother Rodriguez, I was reminded of the scripture in Revelations chapter 12. It says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. God is wanting to produce some more testimonies to expand the collection, to change brawlers into worshipers. As we open up this altar tonight, you might want to rehearse in your own mind, what's my testimony? When was a time when I had something that I know and can point to and can share the experience that I had? A prayer that was answered, a door that was open, a solution that should have never happened except God allowed to happen. Oh, and there was that time I got the Holy Ghost and spoke in a language I never learned. We all have a testimony. As we open up this altar tonight, it'd be a good time to rehearse and remind ourselves of those things that God has done for us. Would you come tonight?